Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Right now at Hassel Cattle Company, DNVR listeners can get 10% off your entire purchase when you use the code DNVR10 at checkout at HasselCattleCompany.com. If you're in the area of the DNVR bar on East Colfax, stop in. We've got Hassel Cattle Company Wagyu beef on our burgers. It's my go-to item on the menu. So good every time. We've got it in the bar, and if you want to experience it and you're not around the bar, use the code DNVR10 at checkout at HasselCattleCompany.com. The best Wagyu beef around. They've got everything from New York strip to beef bacon to Wagyu Franks, jerky flavors. They got everything. Use the code DNVR10 at Hassel Cattle Company for 10% off.
Not drafting the intro as the TV show.
Okay.
Not today.
Not yet.
What is up, everybody, and welcome into the DNVR Nuggets podcast. It's going to be a great show today, guys. No Eric.
That's why it's going to be a great show.
It's gonna be a banger.
So hang on. No, it's even better. Eric in the building.
Eric's
just not
even
on the
right
show.
There,
right
not
there.
On the show.
So close.
So far. We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. As always, use promo code DNVR when you sign up. You could bet tonight. You could bet tonight on the Bucks game to win Game 6, which I think is a near lock.
There's a lot of added player props to it.
So many player props.
Well, Eric's actually been on fire with the finals predictions. I'm serious.
Has he?
We haven't given him his flowers. Eric, talk to me. What happens?
Let's hear it.
He's not on the show.
He was all over
the
show.
He's not on the show. He's just screaming, but nobody can hear him.
But Scott Foster.
All right, we're gonna talk about this. We're gonna talk.
I thought this was good audio content.
Yeah, it really was. It would have been. It's too bad he's not on. We're gonna talk about Game 6 of the finals, a possible closeout game that's happening here at the DNVR bar tonight. You can come by. We're playing trivia. Our first ever DNVR trivia night. I'm very curious to see how this goes. Should be a lot of fun. And you get to watch the game. I think we have drink specials too. Tito's,
right?
Tito's, like, oh yeah, we have a deal on $5 Tito's all night long.
$5 vodka sodas,
$5 vodka footlongs.
That's my music.
This is Harrison Widman music. We're also going to talk about the Olympic Village, sex free, dude. Sex free Olympic
Which,
Village.
Like, what's the point?
And what is the point of the Olympics?
We'll I wouldn't be there. Wouldn't be there.
We're going to talk. That's why I'm not going this year.
We're going to talk about Jaden Springer, who's another one of these very interesting. I don't know if I'm going to say 3-and-D, but 3-and-D archetype players.
For sure.
Definitely D. We're going to talk about him. I'm actually very by him. And then, of course, the Nuggets did host some workouts today with a bunch of different people. But I want to go back to our DraftKings thing because I'm serious about tonight. Game 6 of the finals, I feel like it's a closeout game. And if I were to give a lock for how I think tonight's going to go, I would take Milwaukee and the points. I think that they open this game up.
What is the points?
Four.
That's a good question. It's
Eric,
are they minus five?
They're 5-point favorites.
Yes, 5-point favorites.
Yeah, see, they also knew Scott Foster was going. They're at home right now, like, and it just seems like the universe is around Giannis right now.
Yeah.
Everything. He's like a godly figure right now. It's the wildest thing.
This is Giannis's moment, man. Like, this is his moment, and I was hoping he'd have his moment. I was kind of rooting for this to happen.
Isn't it crazy to have back-to-back years of MVP, and then his moment comes the year he doesn't win it. Like, and
now everything is around him. I feel like that happens a fair amount, you know, especially these days, you know. So, and it's funny because Giannis really was it. He was disqualified from the MVP conversation. Look, Jokic was the MVP. I honestly think that no question. We don't have to relitigate this. But it's funny that everybody kept throwing in the crisp, this guy and that guy, because Giannis was like great all year long. People just got tired of him. But I'm with you, man. I'm so everything is coming up Giannis, and it's cool to see people that even hated him kind of like, all right.
And back-to-back iconic finals moments, man. Yep. The block and the alley-oop are like, forget whatever you think about this finals, whether you're right or wrong. Like, those are some objectively great moments.
Do you think that they're going to win easy tonight? I'm not easy. I think it's going to be a good game, but I just think it's a game that opens up at the end and becomes a little bit of a party the last 5 minutes or so.
It does feel like Milwaukee has grabbed this series by the throat, and maybe that it doesn't shake out that way. But it does kind of feel like it's theirs to, like, Phoenix is going to have to rip it back from them. And right now, Phoenix looks a little doubting themselves, maybe, or tentative in ways they haven't been all postseason. So, yes, I do think Milwaukee has a chance of blowing this thing up.
What do you think, Wind?
Probably depends on what Chris Paul does.
Mm.
Because he's been so, so, so good in these playoffs and then just hasn't been as good as Phoenix has needed him to be. And to win,
he hasn't
tonight,
been that good, to be honest with you, in these finals. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? In my opinion, I'm not saying, trying to be like, oh, he's choky, this or that, but he has definitely been like unimpressive.
Yeah, for sure. And he might be hurt right now, but he's going to have to be, I think, Chris Paul of the Nuggets series to win this series for Phoenix. Right. Like, he's got to be that good. Can he get to that level again? I don't know.
Well, not with Drew Holiday hounding him. This is the thing, man. Like, Drew Holiday, to me, he is the star. Like, Giannis, I'm not surprised by any of this. Giannis has been so underrated for years because, for whatever reason, people want to discount him for this or this. But now everybody is, like, becoming undeniable, and I'm appreciative of that. But Drew Holiday and the way he is completely worn out. Yeah. Chris Paul. I think this – look, he might be injured, sure. I think a lot of guys are – I think he was injured back in the Nuggets series. Yep. He didn't prevent him from playing great. Mm-hmm. He got to his spots. But I think you go up against Drew Holiday, and it's not just that Drew Holiday's a great defender. It's that he wears you out. And you watch these games with Chris Paul, and he's just out again. How many turnovers does he have in the clutch right now because, like, trying to split defender, do this or that? So, to me, that's why I don't think Chris Paul is going to have it. Not one, but especially not two games where he can take over.
I mean, he was, like, best player in the world status during that Nuggets series. And when you look back at it and who Denver had to defend him, like, you can see how that happened.
Yeah.
But Drew Holiday is just at another level.
Can I push back on this in one way? The one thing as I'm watching the series that I think about, again, Drew Holiday is exhausting. I mean, Drew Holiday just has the size. Obviously, Faku can't do that. But I do wonder, like, that was the value of Faku, right? Wear a guy out. Try to make these people, these point guards get exhausted, take the ball out of their hands. Now, Denver couldn't, you know, they didn't have the pieces to be able to do everything anything that Milwaukee's doing defensively. But I do wonder if there was just if they could have better tried to have just said, hey, we're going to use even more players, but we're never letting Chris Paul take a possession off. Because Chris Paul, we talked about that series. It was played at a slow pace. He walked right to the spots he wanted. I mean, he was never disrupted.
A big part of it, and not like Drew's a world beater, but he makes you guard. And he's been active in the finals. Right. And that was the thing with Faku and Austin and Shaq, who we didn't really see much of. Like, Chris Paul was resting on the other end of the floor.
Yeah, but there's also the luxury of Drew Holiday is, you know, their third best player right now. That makes it – he's a really good player, and he's your third best player. You know, a lot of the attention goes to Jokic. You know, when it falls off, like, all of the attention goes to Giannis, he still has Middleton. He still has Drew Holiday to fall back on. Phoenix did not have to worry about Faku as much because he's just not the same type of player. And that's not a knock on Faku. It's just he's not Drew Holiday right now.
Right.
And Drew Holiday's also coming into his own. And then also, like Vogt said, is playing on both ends of the court. You have no choice but to defend him because he can go off at times. There's nights he's not going to be great, but there's also – or offensively, but there's also going to be nights that he lights you up, and they've been seeing that. And then if you let him – like, if you focus on those two, Middleton goes crazy. So it's a lot of guys over there.
I love your point, though. To me, it's actually the most important one because part of what I want to talk about here is move this back. What are we learning about Denver? And you're right. Drew Holiday is not just guarding him and exhausting him. He's also attacking the basket. And I feel feel like this series turned in part when Drew Holiday just put his head down.
Yeah.
I mean, he took the shots that were open to him on the perimeter, but he clearly has a mind frame of going to the basket. And one of the reasons is that's hard to guard. Mm-hmm. Not just like Chris Paul's not matching up with him there, but you're just scrambling the defense, making rotations. And that's why when we so often talk about an Aaron Gordon, and I think Aaron Gordon can be a Drew Holiday level defender. I know that's kind of a hot take, more of a forward than a guard, so it's a little bit different. But I think Aaron Gordon can be a fantastic defender. But when we talk about his offense, it's all, can he knock down open shots? I don't know that I have any confidence that Aaron Gordon can have the impact Drew Holiday had at making defenses work. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. I just remember when we had pipe dreams of Drew Holiday in Denver.
Yeah.
And if you think about the impact he's having on the Bucks, it's similar to the impact he probably would have had in Denver on both ends of the floor.
Painful, honestly.
He would be filling the same role on offense as kind of that third guy.
Right.
And defensively, he'd be your number one option. But Aaron Gordon can be an absolute game changer defensively.
They're just different. I mean, yeah one's going to be different. Guarding your Kawhis and your Paul George.
One's going to have the ball in his hands a lot on the perimeter.
And we noticed the lack of Drew after a postseason with, like, third-string guards particularly. Of course, that's going to feel very heavy.
And I think the equivalent for Aaron Gordon, because as you're saying, one's a guard, so of course he's going to be attacking off the dribble, and Aaron Gordon is. I think the area Aaron Gordon can really exploit this is through rebounding. Rebounding is one of the most exhausting things you can do. And Aaron Gordon's so strong that if you're, say he's guarding a LeBron James next year in next year's playoffs, you're guarding LeBron so that nothing's easy. So he's exhausted. But if you allow LeBron to just guard the corner where it's like, okay, every possession I'm sticking here, that's not, if you're constantly like just making him box out, not even grabbing rebounds, just every time down, he has to fight for 4 seconds to rebound and then go down and try to get past you. To me, that's how you do it. That would be the equivalent of what Drew Holiday is doing.
Well, you did see this in bits and pieces. I think it was in the Portland series where Aaron Gordon was guarded by Norman Powell. And there was one game I remember where they went to Aaron Gordon in the post, like early on the first half, and they drew two fouls on Norman Powell like right away. Like that's an area where Aaron Gordon can kind of be like a big-time threat offensively. Like how Holiday is. Like if you have a mismatch on him and draw a couple quick fouls, or like you say, get on the glass, like that's how we can do that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Scott Foster is the official tonight.
Hell yeah.
Regular rotation. That's not like the NBA is like put Scott Foster in. Also, by the way, the NBA would love to have a game seven. So
I know. Like, why do we think the NBA wants the Bucks to win in six?
I don't. They don't. But here's what I love about it is there are certain officials who do, I don't think, have biases against players, but for whatever reason, they have certain ways they call it, right? Yeah, like a block charge call or this or that. And for whatever reason, it does seem that Scott Foster and Chris Paul, you know, Chris Paul is, what, 2-15 in playoffs
Maybe games. He doesn't fall for Chris Paul's bullshit.
I think maybe that means he's a great official. This actually is probably the right answer on this, is that Chris Paul, man, and we even saw this in the last couple games where Chris Paul does some of that dumb stuff and then looks at the officials like, what do you mean you didn't call my stupid thing?
But yeah, it's also like just going like the, like we'll go to high school or something. Like you knew which teachers you could get away with certain things in their class. You knew what it was, and that's pretty much what it is. With Foster, it's not that he's calling it a certain way for Chris Paul. It's the way that Chris Paul plays the game that he's like, okay, like this is something that I am not a part of. I don't want to like watch these type of things. We're not calling it that way. So that's just it's against Chris Paul because that's the way that he plays. I'm sure that there's refs that don't like the way that Harden plays, and it's not even that they don't like the way he plays. It's just that's what they are. That's their rules, that they're like calling it a certain way. Foster just seems to be that. I think they said that he only has one, his team has one win in like the last like 5 years or something, and he didn't play in that game that he came from. So, like, that's wild.
That is pretty wild.
The teacher thing is perfect. Perfect analogy.
Did you see that Scott Foster was the ref for that game where the Nuggets beat the Pelicans? Or they were the Hornets, I think?
Yeah, the Hornets.
By 58 points in the playoffs.
He was the ref for that one? That's hilarious. They also sucked.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, come on. Let's be honest.
No, Scott Foster made up that 58
points. That's funny. I did not know that one. I'm a little annoyed at how much that was the conversation today. I mean, online, everybody was freaking out about it.
I saw a poll that was like, Scott Foster's the ref for game six. What does this mean? And the choices were Bucks win, Suns win. And the vote was split 50-50.
Right. Really?
Yeah.
People don't even necessarily
know. So nobody can even make up their mind. about what it means.
Didn't the last time that that Scott Foster reffed Chris Paul, like, they lost, and then Chris Paul called him out, like, immediately after the game?
Yeah. This is what I'm saying. Chris Paul just planted this seed, trying to tell everyone 0-13 or something like that. And he's trying to do it. Now here we are.
Yeah.
So, Chris Paul laying the tracks very well to save his legacy when they get eliminated tonight. That's what it is.
For the record, I'm with you though. I'm gonna even make it the DraftKings pick of the week this week.
Oh, Bucks, wow!
With the points -5 tonight in Game 6.
Wow.
I think they do it. I really do, man. You go back there. Again, one thing that's very important. This happens quite often in the finals or conference finals where a team gets down for the first time, and this is what's happened. Where they weren't down, they weren't down at any point. Either way, they were never facing elimination. They were never really truly threatened in any way. But, you know, they were 2-2 against the Lakers or whatever. They're 2-2 against the Clippers. But now when you're actually down – now and on the road. By the way, a great Bucks crowd that I'm sure is going to be. Can you imagine being a Bucks tonight? Can you imagine being Bucks fans? So they're going to be so. And now you need to get contributions from Dario Saric and Campaign and those guys. And I just don't see it.
There's also the thing that won't change at any point in this series, which is like Kaminsky's unplayable and Phoenix does not have enough bigs to play against Milwaukee. Like that's just going to be the case.
Are you pulling for Milwaukee?
I am now. I am. I've come all the way around. I did some internal, like, I didn't go public with it, but I did some internal.
I love this. It's going to be heavy. Can you play the heavy music public. Here, Kale?
No, just like.
Something a little heavy.
No, right, like I was.
Zoom in on vote here.
Like joking with you guys, like, man, Giannis needs Jokic. Like Giannis is incredible, but maybe he's more of an AD than a Batman and all this stuff. And, and now he's here and I'm like, that's bad. That's screw that. That's being a bad, on my legs, huh? That's being a bad basketball fan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like. Two-time MVP, one of the greatest players of all time, one of the most likable superstars of all time, and more to the point, just signed that extension. They just, what we all called, an overpay for Drew, and here they are. Like, it's good for basketball if that pans out. It's good for Giannis, and so I'm going to embrace the good vibes in that.
Yeah, there it is.
Oh, my
You goodness. Did it, man.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, my goodness.
You did it, man.
Action speed.
Also, I'm wearing shorts today.
Hey, look
at that,
man.
Your tan still looks pretty good.
Your tan does, yeah, still there. In all seriousness, though, it is kind of funny. Like you can easily reduce these things to good and evil, and it becomes dumb. Like, the further you go down there.
100%.
But I will say, I'm as happy for Giannis as I would be annoyed if Chris Paul were to be pulling this off. He's just too annoying to me. Yeah.
I just love when a team has a lead or like just like a big lead in a game or even a series and they're celebrating, they're trash talking, they're in your face, flexing, and then tables turn.
Yeah.
And then it's just like how they react to that. And the Suns just don't seem to be reacting in the exact same way. Like they came into this, Jay Crowder's in people's faces. Everybody, you know, Devin Booker dunks on Giannis and he's all on top of him. And now it's like humble like conversations and trying to like, why is everyone against us type of things. I love that. I really do.
Yeah, I do as well.
The Drew element too. Like I've almost forgotten to like, he's one of the most liked and respected guys in the entire league. And
great
we
dude,
always do like,
counts.
What's our record as a sports community in this last decade for near consensus, this trade is horrible. And then it works out.
I don't think the trade was horrible for Milwaukee. Like Milwaukee was in a position where they had to do that.
Desperate.
Like they had to keep Giannis there. They had to get him to sign the extension.
Right.
Like they had to go make an all-in move. So I think for Milwaukee, the trade was fine. I really do. They had to get him.
I know, but it's like if they if the Nets stay healthy and they lose that series and then like Drew's not getting any younger and they're down five first round picks. All I'm saying is we all reacted to it, right? We're all like, whoa, that's a lot. But it just seems to feel like whenever we all seem to know how a trade went, we're usually wrong.
Yeah. Mm. All right, let's hit our first break. On the other side, we're going to talk about some of the guys the Nuggets brought in today to get a workout, the press conferences after that workout, as well as our prospect of the day, which is Jaden Springer, very interesting guy. We'll get to all of that in segment two. But first, Harrison.
Yeah, first of all, make sure to pick up some Mile High City Copper Lager this week. A beer that's just great for any type of occasion. If you're, you know, out at Wash Park, if you're
going camping,
great camping beer.
Great camping beer.
Are you going camping soon again?
No, in 2 weeks. Yeah.
Oh,
all right.
Well, the 2 week warning.
The 2 week Adam's warning. Camping. Starting to save up some beers.
We'll only hear about it six more times.
All right. Make sure to pick some up from your local liquor store. If you go to the Breck Brew Farmhouse, you can also get some there as well. The Mile High City Copper Lager from Breck Brew, perfect for all occasions. Also, here at DNVR, we are now sponsored by Ball across the entire DNVR network. Yes, as in Ball Arena, where the Denver Nuggets play basketball. Also as in the world's largest aluminum can and packaging manufacturer. Also as in the aerospace technology company. That's something I didn't know about Ball before we linked up with them. They've been leading global sustainability efforts for decades. In 2018, 2019, Ball Aerospace developed image surveillance systems to observe natural resources from space and methane, ozone, even land and water use. So they're, like I said, a company that's leading global sustainability efforts. They've been doing so for decades. And by 2030, they aim to reduce operational carbon emissions by 55% and across their value chain by 16% from 2017 levels. Of course, they are the company that makes those 8, 12, and 16 ounce can sizes for all kinds of liquids. If you want to work at Ball right here in Golden, Colorado, they're hiring. Check them out. Go to jobs.ball.com. A great place to work. Like I said, they're doing a lot of cool stuff for the world. Or you can search Golden when you go to jobs.ball.com. You can also text Golden to 77222 if you want to work for a Ball right here at their Golden plant.
We back?
We back.
Any of you guys get a chance to check out Curious Mike yet or not?
I did. Yes, I watched it.
I hear it's not, it wasn't bad.
It was interesting, man. It was interesting. Covered a lot of different stuff, like religion, social media. Mike said he wants to try LSD once in his life. That was interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
Mike, talk to us. Just kidding.
Yeah. But yeah, they covered a lot. It actually was interesting. Like, he was super candid. I liked it.
Man, that's
Curious Mike.
I'm Curious Adam now to check it out. Hey.
I like that. I like that one.
Huh? That was pretty good.
Like, Curious Mike, like an incredible name.
It's so good, incredible. Dude.
Incredible.
Oh man, I forgot that when we were. I'm going backwards back to segment one here because I forgot. Not everybody knows this. Chris Paul punched Julius Hodge in the balls in college. You guys remember this?
My guy Julius Hodge.
Our guy, former Nuggets legend, sure, Julius Hodge. Sure. But after that last play, you remember the last play? Chris Paul shoves, tries to save a dunk, and does it. I didn't actually think, I'm going to be indignant about this, but I actually didn't think it was that bad. Like, he was trying to stop an alley-oop. But Chris Paul is a shyster. And Julius Hodge did hop on social media. Said something like,
"This dude,
some guys never chair. These people can't help themselves or whatever." And I just remember being like, "Oh,
that's great!
What a perfect way for you to pop back into my life."
First time I've heard Julius Hodge's name
in a long
since
time.
He was on the Nuggets.
He's had that baby in the draft since Twitter debuted.
He was so ready for it.
Yeah.
I think that the play was very, very dirty. It just didn't work out the way that he wanted it, like that it could have.
Right, right.
Because like, if it would have been a flopper, or if he would have just really like clean got him, like a guy's in the air, he can't help himself. Luckily, Giannis is insane and just he's like just a freak and just tree. Still goes into. But anyone else, like even if it's LeBron in that, he flops so much, he really probably could have hurt himself for real because it's just such a play you don't make.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Chris Paul flopped into LeBron so hard he hurt himself?
Yep.
That was a moment.
Chris Paul almost hurt himself like five times this playoffs from flop.
If I had one wish tonight, it would be for Chris Paul to really get humiliated, like dunked on or something. Like, you remember the one of the greatest plays ever was the LeBron dunk that almost happened on Draymond Green to close out the 2016 finals.
Yeah,
that's like one of my ultimate what ifs. And now I hate LeBron. So thank God it didn't happen. but I hope for something like that tonight. Giannis somehow dunks on Chris Paul to close. There's the exclamation point that it's like.
I mean, that is kind of what just happened, though, isn't it?
Well, it's happened again. You're right. That is exactly that what happened.
He lost the game for him. I wish there would have been more of that. Like, you lost it for us in that play.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I do want it to be humiliating, like whatever does happen. Maybe hopefully it's like
such haters.
Lopez or somebody. Or P.J. Tucker dunks him or something that never happens.
I don't know. Can P.J. Tucker still dunk?
Who knows?
Like, probably not.
I don't know.
If I was on like AM/FM radio, I would probably be like, you know, you just got to be like, good for Chris Paul. Like, what a veteran who's worked. And then I'm on this show. I'm just like, yeah, that guy, I hate that guy. It's just a flopper. It's just two completely different approaches.
All right, we got to move on to the guys that came in today. There was Jalen Crutcher, David Duke, a tough name, Aaron Henry, Colby Ross, Terry Taylor, and Ethan Thompson. Harrison, you were on the calls today.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start with the crop that came in today?
Let's start with Aaron Henry. I think he's the most interesting guy that came in today. I really like him.
Can I pull behind the curtain real quick and share a message that you said today?
Sure, go ahead.
From Harrison Wind, 11:30 a.m. I'm a big Aaron Henry guy.
I am. That was after talking with him.
Is that what made you like him?
I just, that's the exact structure of I'm a big statue guy.
Add him to the list.
Add him to the list, statues.
Add him to the list.
All right. So,
no, Aaron Henry. I like him. I think the Nuggets like him. He's a projected maybe late first, but probably a second round pick from what I'm seeing. 6'6" forward. I think he can play the 3 and the 4 at the next level. 210 pounds. Really built guy. Michigan State Spartan. So cut from that cloth. 15.4 points. 5.6 rebounds. 3.6 assists per game for Michigan State last year. Shot like 45% from the field. Didn't shoot it that well from 3. Right at 30%. But he reminds me of an OG Anunoby, PJ Tucker type. And those are actually two guys he compared himself to today, along with Jayshon Tate. And the most interesting thing that I learned about Aaron Henry today, he's been working out pre-draft with Mike Miller.
I love
Ooh.
It.
Former Nugget.
The new RJ Hampton, you might
right,
say.
Right. Of course, Mike Miller worked out RJ Hampton last year prior to the draft. I think that wasn't like the leading reason, but I think that was a reason why the Nuggets ultimately ended up with RJ Hampton. So he's working on his shot with Mike Miller. I also asked him about just, has Mike given you the lowdown on the Nuggets and Jokic? And he's like, he has. Mike has told me how he was one of the first ones to recognize Jokic was that guy. So
he was, though. He does get that credit.
He does. He does. So he's really interesting. He had this quote about the Nuggets. He said, quote, they're ready to win, and I'm ready to win with them. He's already talking about the Nuggets like he's on the team.
Like we.
Yeah. So I think he's interesting, kind of that small forward type who's going to be a really good defender. I think the question is he going to be able to shoot it at the next level? But he's intriguing for sure, I think.
So I was thinking about this. Who's the worst defensive player in the NBA that comes from Michigan State? I'll give you the list. Draymond Green.
No.
Xavier Tillman.
Hmm.
Cassius Winston. Miles Bridges, Jaren Jackson Jr., Gary Harris, and then you get to the actual two. Denzel Valentine and Bryn Forbes.
Valentine, like the worst player in the
NBA. Yeah, he might just not have been an NBA player. And Bryn Forbes, not exactly a defensive stalwart. Yeah. But all those other guys are defensive players. Yeah. Like, that's a... So you already know the pedigree, just from whatever it is for Michigan State. I don't think it's crazy to say probably going to come in with some defensive chops.
He also is a guy like his big moment was like when he got into it with the coach last year.
Right, when he got into it with Izzo.
Yeah, so this is a guy that can be coached hard. He also responded, you know, well after that, you know, whole situation and was really honest and talked about what happened, but also was just like, you know, he has to stay in his lane and he likes to be coached hard. So Malone's a player that – I mean, a coach that coaches hard and he puts them in different type of things. So he has the pedigree for a Nuggets player.
When we're – so Aaron Henry at 26, is that a reach? Does that feel right?
It's a super reach.
Probably too early. Yeah. I think he's more of a second-round guy. But he seems to me like kind of a Torrey Craig-ish guy.
Mm.
Like not – maybe not a super high ceiling. He's a junior. He's 21 years old. So, you know, still somewhat young. But I think he can be an NBA defender. Like, absolutely. Absolutely. He's got an NBA body right now. He's just really good defensively. So I he's interesting to me.
It's, you know, we talk about the reasons that they would bring in guys that are not going to go 26. And one of them was, you know, maybe they get drafted. Maybe they pick up a second round pick. And
sure.
Maybe, you know, you never know what's going to happen. But I think one other thing, and we know this from talking to Conley and different people in the front office, a lot of times you get to know these guys now because you have access to them in this way, but it's actually intel for 3-4 years down the road. Yep. Like this might be their first opportunity to push them in a way that they wanted to get a read on their character and hard work and attitude, and then they file that away 2 years from now whenever those guys are on the trade block and you're like, hey, we like that guy. Remember, he's had all those things to say, and mm-hmm. he really guarded so-and-so so well, so... File. That's what I feel like a lot of these guys are. Him in particular is more of a, hey, file that away. You never know.
I remember this is going to sound crazy, and this is for D-line, but when the Nuggets signed Greg Whittington, I was like asking people about him. He's like, yeah, we scouted him really hard during the pre-draft process.
Yeah.
Way back in 2015, I think.
Right.
So it's stuff like that.
So, I mean, look, what are the paths to that? Like, maybe you get a second rounder back for Bowl if in an optimistic perspective, or
yeah, maybe you trade into the second round. I mean, maybe he goes undrafted. I doubt that happens, but it could. Yeah. Maybe he's undrafted and he's like one of your top priorities for a two-way.
Sure.
And maybe that type of deal.
Yeah. Who else from this workout today is worth talking about?
I think the other guy of note, you guys might have hit on him, but Colby Ross from Aurora and from Eagle Crest.
Yeah.
Like ridiculous records when he was at Pepperdine, became the first player in D1 history to go for 2,200 points, that's 800 right. assists, and 400 rebounds. Probably going to go undrafted, it seems like, or late second rounder. But four-year guy, can obviously play point guard. Seems to me like a guy who's going to latch onto a team and have like a really good summer league.
Yeah.
And maybe find a spot. That's what it seems like.
Maybe like undrafted with a deal in place to.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Colby Ross, what do you think? I know you already gave some thoughts.
But. Yeah. I think it's just like a bucket list item. Like he grew up a Nuggets fan, a Nuggets guy, and to be able to work out with the other, like your hometown team. Like, that has to be a dream come true. So that was really cool. And it's also cool that the Nuggets always bring in the hometown guy. Like, they seem to, like, really believe in that and to giving them a chance. And I'm sure, like, especially with guys coming into their hometown, they're going to say all the right things. So now you pitch that out to other teams, even if you don't pick them up, or just maybe you bring them on to a summer league if no one else picks them up. So I think that that's really cool what they did. But he's also a player. Like, he's a really good player that I feel like, you know, I know he's going to be a professional, like, no matter what, like, the case may be. Maybe it's not in the NBA, but he's going to be a professional that's, like, going to be, like, taking his time in the league at times. Yeah. So, eventually, he'll get in.
Yeah.
He's kind of like a Fred VanVleet if he's going to make it, I think, yeah. Which is what you compare every small
guy.
Second-round guard to.
We got to figure out who the, like, 10 players that get comped are. They're all the same, you know.
Yeah, Drew Holiday, Fred VanVleet.
For us, it's Gary Harrison, Will Barton. The offensive guards, Will Barton. Defensive guards, like Gary Harris.
Everyone's Gary Harris this year.
Right? Speaking of Gary Harris comps, let's move on to Jaden Springer. I'm telling you, it's one of my favorite things when the ambulance goes by on Colfax.
Why is that?
Just getting us ready for our prospecting segment?
No, it just feels
alert,
like Colfax.
Alert.
That's home.
Yeah. Jaden Springer, very interesting one. One of the things I picked up from doing these prospecting shows is that there's a lot of 3-and-D players. Now, when I say 3-and-D, it's just a mold of player. It basically means like a shooting guard who is a defensive-minded player because Jaden Springer doesn't necessarily shoot the ball well. But this is now, I don't know, our sixth or seventh guy we've done that would play shooting guard on the Denver Nuggets. So there's a lot of guys in this range. More so than any other archetype, there is shooting guard with either defense or offense or both. I'll let you take the lead on this one again here. Okay. What do you want to give us the lowdown on Jaden Springer?
Yeah, so the lowdown on Jaden Springer, 18 years old, just played his freshman season at Tennessee. He's 6'3" with a 6'8" wingspan.
It's a big difference, five inches.
Yeah, that's a big plus wingspan for sure, and you'll see it on the film on his defense. His averages, 12.5 points per game, shot 47% from the field, actually shot 43.5% from three. Not on a lot of attempts, though. Was 20 of 46 in total. And you'll see there's some questions about his form and whatnot. But 81% from the line, gets to the free throw line a lot. He had like 12 free throw attempts one game. One game he went 10 of 10 from the line, which is a lot in college. And then I think he averaged like 17.5 points and 5 rebounds, 4 assists per game in the SEC. So he kind of got better as the year went on. And one stat I saw on him, here's one. NCAA freshman since 2008 with 20 assist percentage, 2 block percentage, 2 steal percentage, and 40% free throw rate, and at least 40% better from three, him and James Harden. So, like, he's a rare kind of guy that does a lot of different things and also gets to the line a lot. So he's interesting. Offensively, the things that jump out, he plays under control. He's kind of plays at his own pace. Kind of got like an old man's game, I feel like. He's a two-footed jumper, so that's a reason why he draws a lot of fouls. Always plays in control, always draws a lot of contact. Disciplined, physical, high IQ player who kind of plays to his strengths. When he gets to the rim, he kind of tries to draw contact, go up strong, and finish. He's nice in transition. There's a nice run out right there. I wouldn't really call him a high flyer, but knows how to use his athleticism pretty well. Shot 60% at the rim in the half court. Like I said, gets pretty good pop off of 2 feet. Good passer. Can find guys when he draws two defenders. His shooting, kind of interesting. Kind of like a rigid shot release that doesn't always look the same. Like I mentioned, he shot a good percentage, but I think there are some questions there. And then defensively, really kind of sound defender, quick feet, active hands, keeps guys in front of him, gets over ball screens again, like super disciplined on that side of the floor. So he seems like I'm a really mature player to me, even though he's an 18-year-old freshman.
Some of those steals he gets without fouling, pick and pockets, like a little Shaq-esque, just that specific thing he does.
Really good hands. Really good hands. And that long, I think long wingspan matters for that too, because it's just like a little extra distance that guys aren't expecting for you to steal the ball.
Yeah, Harrison, like, he talked about a lot of the positives. Like, some of his negatives is like what stands out to me. Like, he's not really like explosive athlete. He's really undersized, which makes it really tough for him to especially be in a situation like the Nuggets, because they're going to need guys that defend the three, and he's going to be undersized in that aspect. He can create like for himself on shots, but not like much of a playmaker for others. He's also really like turnover prone. I think he averaged like 2.3 turnovers a game, just because he doesn't know how to put himself in situations to get others guys going, which makes it really tough, especially at the next level with their explosion, speed, athleticism. But he's really scrappy, and the defense is what's going to stand out for him and keep him on the floor. Like Harrison said, he can score for himself. Like, he can create for himself off the dribble, gets to his spots, athletic finishes at the rim. As far as just, he knows how to use like angles on his, and that's what like separates his scoring. But it's going to be hard for him to get a shot off, and also if he doesn't become more of a 3-point shooter, like he shot well as far as percentage-wise, but he didn't shoot a lot of threes this year.
He's not comfortable with it, yeah, for
like
sure.
He's not a comfortable shooter, and that's what he has to become if he's going to be in the league.
And the catch-and-shoot numbers were underwhelming, as I understand it. I know Spinella described him in his video as a guy defenses will help off of late in the shot clock.
Yeah, they went under him.
Yeah.
And pick and rolls.
So the first thing I'll say is I think he might be the best defender that we've looked at. We've talked about Dosunmu, we've talked about Grimes, we've talked about McBride. McBride's probably a better defender, but he's 6'2" or whatever. Like, to me, it's almost different when you're probably a pure one rather than a combo guard like the rest of those guys are. So I think he might be the best on-ball defender of all those guys. He's really strong. He reminds me almost of a Marcus Smart in terms of how he is just a square. You know, like, physically, he's this very stocky guy, and guys can't really get around him. He does a great job of not reaching at the perfect moment. Yeah. I thought Jeremy Grant did a good job of this too, where he would like move his feet with his hands out until you like stopped or changed directions, and then perfect timing. So I think he projects to be a really good on-ball defender. And if that's your most important attribute, and it might be for Denver, by the way, if you're talking about filling out this roster, that final spot, your two guard might be, the defense is probably more important than the offense, and it might be the only important thing or close to it. So I really believe in his defense. And I know you were saying he was small. That 6'8 wingspan, I think he can guard 1-3. Now, I don't think he can guard LeBron James or this or that, but I think that he's big enough that he would be more like, even like a bigger Gary Harris, to be honest. Like a slightly bigger Gary Harris. We see what Drew Holiday's doing with his height. It's basically the same measurables. I think maybe he, best case scenario, can be something like that. The 2-foot jumper thing is really interesting to me, because you hear guys talk about 2-foot versus 1-foot. Most guys are some combo of both, but lean to the other. I don't think I saw a single example of him jumping off of 1 foot.
It's wild, man. Every single time he jumps,
fast breaks,
2 feet,
cuts, everything.
He'll be by himself on a fast break.
Yeah,
1-2.
That's got to limit your angles and windows of attack.
It's explosiveness,
right?
It's explosiveness, absolutely. Because 2 feet is a power jump, and he is, as you mentioned, a very good finisher at the rim. And I think a lot of that is Gary Harris-esque, like he's strong. Even Gary actually used the acrobatics or whatever. He seems to be like, I love contact. You want to do contact? Let's do. He plays like slam ball. He's looking for it, and because he goes off the 2 feet, it's like he's exploding into the body. But you're right that it is less like above the rim. You're not going to be able to get up quick and posterize a guy. It's more you're going to meet and go through him.
Yeah, and that's what he also does. He does well at like blocking a defender off to go finish with the long wingspan, because that's when it's going to catch up to him. Is when defenses are like getting back and or just that like quick window, like where you try to just go and throw it in. When you're going off of 2 feet, guys are going to be able to recover a lot quicker. So you got to, he has no bag. It already says he has no bag. He's going to have to get it off in different ways. So like that limits his like ability to score, because that window is so small, especially scoring at that level.
The area I disagree with you, Dev, the most, and look, I haven't scouted this guy enough to feel super confident about this, but I think he showed some playmaking chops. I'm more worried about his scoring. Like, I think he projects to be a really scary scorer with the ball in his hands. But he does look to me like better than a Gary Harris, worse than a Will Barton at running a pick and roll, getting into the and reading the backside defense, reading the drop off, reading the alley-oop, whatever it is. I just saw enough clips in there that I was like, oh, that's a pretty good high-level read that he made off of that. So part of me wondered, we talked about this a while back, would you rather have a shooting guard if they could defend that can play make or shoot? I actually think he can play make at a level that I'm pretty comfortable with. Almost PJ Dozier-esque, I guess, maybe. It's maybe somewhere in there. Maybe a little shy of that, but the shot is pretty scary.
Yeah. I kind of want to go back to something I said at the very beginning, but he kind of, to me, has an old man's game.
Yeah.
Like, so in control all the time, plays at his own pace, and when he's around the rim, like we said, he's always jumping off 2 feet. He's looking to draw contact. That's a reason why he got to the line so much. But it just seems like he plays at a really slow pace, and he's got a really high IQ as well. And he's just, like, always comfortable. It doesn't seem like he gets rattled a lot out there.
He does seem like a tough dude. I think Malone would like him a lot. The traits that scare me, obviously, the shot. Number two, the trait would be the first step. And part of this plays into the one-foot jumper or whatever, but he is more of a mechanical athlete, more of a football like type athlete than he is an explosive basketball one. So it can work. I could be wrong on this, but I just would love for Denver to have one guy that's lightning quick. I just want to see what it looks like. They really haven't had that many in their history with Jokic.
Like, it's funny. I feel like I'm trying to find the next RJ Hampton.
Yeah, I know. It's so true. RJ was so long. Like, he did. He had some interesting attributes. You knew he'd be a worker.
Yeah.
You're right.
I haven't found
him. He's not that.
Yeah, I haven't found him.
Marcus Smart, I think, is maybe one of the better comps for him.
So he reminded me of Kyle Lowry, man.
Yeah.
He reminds me of Kyle Lowry a little.
He doesn't have the handle,
taller,
though.
Right. He doesn't really have the handle, but plays at that slower, in-control pace. Like
Kyle Lowry is close to a perfect fit for the Nuggets.
Yeah.
But Kyle Lowry can shoot the three. He can shoot the three. He's got a better handle. And those two things, I think, unlock a lot more to Jaden Springer. I'm intrigued, though.
When Kyle Lowry came in the league, he was a terrible shooter.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Jaden Springer, he is kind of slotted in that 20 to 30 range, right?
Right.
I mean, he sort of seems like 26 is
And honestly, reasonable. There's a handful of these guys, DeSumo, Primo, that all, like, depending on the mock draft, have them going 24th or 28th. Sure. And they all kind of just, like, shift back and forth. So
yeah, my read on what the Nuggets are gonna do, I feel like it's gonna kind of go like last year's draft did, where there's a bunch of guys that they like in that range, and just how the draft plays out, who falls to them is gonna end up being who they take. Like, I think they're comfortable at 26, and I think they're comfortable a guy they like is gonna be there.
They've got 3 or 4 guys they like, you think?
Yeah. Probably more than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you, now that we've gone through the, a handful of these, do you have a guy that's sort of your guy at the moment?
I really like Springer.
Really?
I do. Yeah, I do. I think what you have is the defense is there, and then some of the stuff that you talked about is encouraging on the offensive end, as a guy who might really learn how to play the game, put the ball on the floor. And so even if the shooting and the finishing isn't necessarily where you want it to be, this isn't just like a one-way player, right? This isn't just like it's 4-on-5 on the other end, but we're throwing this guy out there to play some D. I think there's a chance that Springer can be more of a two-way guy and a high-impact player on defense.
High IQ is so important.
That's really such a
big thing to me. That's a big box.
There are some point guard attributes to him, and so that gives me hope.
His shot would make you so mad, though. Like, you think about him and Aaron Gordon, like, if that was, I know we're always projecting the next starter, maybe he's just a role player or whatever, but if that was it, man, there just would be so many games that came down to him going 0-for-6, and you're just like, weren't even close.
Right.
Weren't even close. Come on, man. What do you think, Dev? Do you have, like, guy or guys that are kind of moving towards the top of your personal list?
Probably DeSumo.
Okay.
I think that would probably be the guy for me. I just think that he answers what the Nuggets need right now. He also, like, not having Jamal to start out the year, he, like, gives you some insurance there. Also, with having to wait to see what Will Barton does, it gives you some insurance on that end as well. So I think it answers two positions with him being a combo guard, and he's also really talented and continues to get better.
Yeah.
I really like Deuce McBride from West Virginia. I really, really like him. I also still really like Quentin Grimes.
I was going to say Grimes as well, yep.
Grimes is still stuck with me. It doesn't seem like he's got a ton of ceiling or a huge ceiling, but just think he's going to be a good player.
Yeah.
Think he's going to be a good player. And another guy we haven't talked about yet that I could really like for Denver, Bones Highland. Have you heard about this guy?
Mm-mm.
Bones out of VCU.
It's a sick name.
Another just great name. Yeah.
Bones Highland.
Is he better than Josh Primo? Is he better than Deuce McBride?
these names in the late first round, man.
Is he really better than
Yeah. But he's kind of like a Dosunmu, like a lead ball handler type guy. Who's pretty long, 6'3". I'm going to look into him this week, and we should probably talk about him. But he's also intriguing to me, point guard out of VCU. He's another, like, late riser who played really well at the Combine.
Okay. I'm sure we'll get to him this week. Just suggest that in the group chat when we're planning the show.
Okay, I will.
And then we'll get – oh, no. For me, Quentin Grimes is my guy, I think, at the moment. This might change. There's a lot of guys that I'm kind of, like, revisiting. I'll be honest, man. All of these guys, to me – kind of feel the same in that none of them are like, oh man, love this. There's nobody I like love,
yeah,
but there's also nobody there, I hate.
There's nobody I just love yet.
It's a lot of late first rounders.
Yeah, that's exactly what a late first rounders. You're like, I don't know, man. There's some things that are interesting. We'll see how it breaks. But Grimes probably to me is a little bit up there. I agree with you. I like Deuce McBride. I don't love the idea of Denver taking a fourth tiny point guard, like a 6'2 or under point guard. I know that doesn't matter because a year from now, probably two or three of those guys won't be on the roster anymore, but Quentin Grimes to me also winning. Just this is maybe I'm being dumb about this. The fact that he went to Houston and won, I just feel like I reward that, especially when coaches and everybody talks about like what a great cultural leader he was. Mm-hmm. I go like, okay, that sounds like it fits. Also, Quentin Grimes, a little bit on the Michael Porter Jr. path of very highly regarded high school player, had a little bit of a fall for grace, and now he's an underdog. He went from being the favorite to an underdog, and I just kind of like that story.
I like it, too. I'm a sucker for a story.
Big underdog
like
guy.
It seems like the Nuggets are into that, too.
The Nuggets are like a good story, too.
The exact same way. Michael Porter Jr., now him, like...
You're at Bull Bowl. Hey, just talk me out of it.
Yeah, but it's just so late that, like, I mean, we already know what the ceiling is, and also, like, you take a chance on those type of guys. You're not going to... hit every single one of them out the park, but you're going to get lucky on some.
Yeah. Man, we're going to end up with a Tyler Lydon this year. Some guy we did scout.
What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
Sorry. Let us know in the comment. We're going to hit our last break here, and I want to see it. I'm going to read all the comments because I'm curious what the chat thinks, what their guy is that we've gone over. So let's take a break. On the other side, though, no sex in the Olympic Village? What a tease.
What? Is it even the Olympic Village?
Come on.
Right now, guys, at Manscaped, they're offering this awesome promotion for DNVR members. You guys can get 20% off from Manscaped plus free shipping with the code DNVR at manscaped.com. Make sure to pick up the Lawnmower 4.0 for the summer. It's got that 7,000 RPM motor. 7,000 RPM.
Look, for those of you not going to the Olympic Village, you got to Manscaped. You got to take care of yourself.
I bet you everybody in the Olympic Village is hooked up with Lawnmower 4.0.
Probably. Probably comes in the room. It's just like a bed chocolate.
Probably just is right on the...
That is true, right, actually. They should promote it that way.
Swimmers are sponsored.
You'll swim so much faster with the Manscaped 4.0. So aerodynamic.
It also has a 4000K LED spotlight, wireless charging, different sized blade lengths, 1 through 4. So a lot of great perks to the Lawnmower 4.0. You can get it for 20% off with the code DNVR at manscaped.com. Get it for 20% off. Get any Manscaped product you want for 20% off with the code DNVR at manscaped.com.
The best boxers I own, by the way. Manscaped boxers.
Yeah.
Most comfortable pair by a mile.
There you go. You get those as well. At DraftKings right now, they've got a Manscaped Speedo would be interesting.
You know what, Dev? You send them the email and you let us know. Send us pictures.
Genius marketing idea. Genius. At DraftKings right now, they've got some really cool specials going on for the Tokyo Olympics. You can place any pre-event wager of $1 to be eligible to cash $100 in free credits. If America wins any medal this year, I think that's going to happen. They just have to win one medal. The U.S. just has to win one medal.
It might.
It might.
Yeah. I think that's going to happen.
We might have an Olympics. We might not. Yeah. Would you lose if the Olympics got canceled? Do you lose the bet?
No, DraftKings is going to
refund. Probably
DraftKings
refund. They're better than that. All right. Yeah, they'd refund.
So this is a literal can't miss.
Yeah. Like is typical at DraftKings.
That's right.
Again, place $1 to be eligible to cash $100 in free credits if America wins any medal. So make sure to download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits if America wins one medal. That's code DNVR to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. For a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Finally, at Solace Meds right now, they've still got some awesome deals in July that you guys can take advantage of. Let's see what they got here. All Green Dot Concentrates 20% off. All Wana 25% off. All O-Pen cured resin cartridges 20% off. Tons and tons of other deals as well. So make sure to stop into one of their four Colorado locations. When you do, use code DNVR20 at checkout. You're going to get 20% off your entire purchase. They've also got some other little perks and deals that we don't know about. They've always got cool stuff going on there. Just drop the code DNVR. They'll treat you like a VIP. And when you use the code DNVR20 at checkout, you're going to get 20% off your entire purchase. You can use that at any of their four Colorado locations. They got one in Fort Collins, one in Wheat Ridge, one off of Broadway, and one just blocks away from the DNVR bar on East Colfax.
We back.
We bite.
Man, it's funny. I'm seeing right now, as you were reading that, I was seeing the offensive linemen for the Broncos are out at Red Rocks.
Solace Meds. Oh, okay.
No. Red Rocks doing a workout. They look, it's like jarring when you're used to seeing like all the NBA guy, tall, skinny, yeah, super long limb. Then you see these like giant gutted offensive linemen, but also just booking it up. Dude, there. And you're like, my
those
God.
Guys are terrifying athletes.
They really are, man.
Fun fact, I was with a young woman and the door opens and she says, my uncle is here. You have to leave. And I was like, what do you mean? She goes, he's a starting offensive lineman for the Baltimore Ravens, and he will kill you.
Jonathan Ogden.
And I said, well, what if I just run? She looks me dead in the eye. She goes, he will catch you. So I hid in a closet for about an hour.
Man.
That's the end of my story.
You were hiding in a closet with a very young girl.
You were once in a relationship.
You were once in a relationship.
I was once in a relationship.
R. Kelly 2.0.
Trapped in the closet. That's a good one.
Well,
trapped in the closet. That's what he did there. I like that one.
Yeah, well, that's a great segue for us here.
Yeah,
because segment here, and I'm not sure this is actually a segment, but I have long. One of my favorite stories that I know about that exists in the world is the Olympic Village, an epic place where the greatest athletes in the entire world come together for peace and quiet. But while they train to go pursue the gold. And then once that gold has been won or lost, the Olympic Village is known to become a giant love fest. This year, though, Tokyo is putting the clamps down. They're saying, no, with coronavirus, we know you've worked your whole life to get to this point for this village.
Correct.
They're saying, no, they've invented a bed made of cardboard that collapses if the body weight of two people sits on it. First of all, I don't know how you do this because like Simone Biles, like 100 pounds.
Right.
And or then like you have like the weight trainers, they have like 400 pounds. So I don't know.
That's a good point.
I don't know.
This is impossible.
JaVale McGee like rolls over in his sleep and the whole thing just.
Well, the U.S. Olympic men's team is like, they're never in the Olympic Village. And right. there's very few
that's
like
right.
very
that's
few
right.
like high profile athletes, but they usually get a yacht or something where they get. That's true. They get like their
no,
own little
I remember.
Thing. Yeah.
That's where.
They go to sea so nobody can like get them.
Three linked up.
It's very safe. But I'm telling you, this. When I heard this news, I thought, this is a disaster.
I mean, why even go to the Olympics at this point? Why?
Do you think it's going to work?
Yes and no. No, because, I mean, there's still the floor. Like, you're not going to stop people from doing what they're going to do.
This is a great
like,
point.
You can also, really there's point. Also alternates. If you think that that's, like, not fun and not good, then you try shower sex. There's worse Shower. Things than just going on a cardboard box.
Wait, what? Yeah, wait, Super producer Allie. You walked in on a bad segment.
He walked in on a rough segment.
I was
rough
feeling sheepish
here.
About my anecdote, but Dev just ripped the band-aid off. So it's all good.
What happened here?
just try shower sex.
Yeah, I mean.
Just try it.
Yeah. Wait.
Okay. I blacked out. What?
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Sorry, Dev used to be in a lot of relationships.
This is crazy. But also, do they not have hotels or anything else in this like town?
Well,
like,
first of all, no. And if you're like a famous athlete, remember they like COVID is a real issue. They're trying to. One of the things that has come out of this is the U.S. We got the vax like 6 months ago. Not everybody wanted to take it for whatever reason. A slow rollout on that. But we got it so long ago that we all think of it. Not every country has. So you hear some of these stories and you're like, oh, wow, Tokyo. You would have thought Japan fully vaxxed and distributed. And apparently not the case. So, no, they can't just go get a hotel.
It's what Tokyo's trying to set up is an NBA-style bubble type of thing.
But it's an enormous bubble.
Which already seems like it doesn't work.
Well, it's burst it's not in the first.
Because athletes in the Olympic Village already have COVID.
Right.
But that's what they're trying to do. But it's a lot easier when you just have, like, 16 teams and not 100 different countries.
Cardboard beds just seems like the weirdest solution. Problem.
It's so it's like a bit.
And did you see the thing it's like a trap door, like drop. It doesn't drop that far, but it just drops a few inches.
It's so funny to me.
Maybe they're just trying to save money. Like, it seems like a low budget solution.
It like something from like the 16th century where they were like, to prevent her from being laid barren before her wedding night.
Collapse into a moat.
Collapse with alligators below. Anyway, I'm honestly a little distraught by this.
I think that I actually learned something new in this whole process. I didn't know that that place was like just like a sex town, basically.
It was.
I didn't know that.
Well, you think about it, it's like the most beautiful people on earth, like all these athletes
with the most pent up stress. And
yeah, they've been working for like 0% to be ready for this.
You get that. You get a gold medal, and you just walk around. And you're like, I'm revved up. Yeah. I'm ready to go.
There's all these beautiful people here. You know. You got different Chris Marlowe languages.
Used to be there at one time.
Wow. It's going to tiptoe around that one.
That would be a good one to ask him, like, how is it there? Like, or what do you feel?
How
do you feel
much?
Like this is going to be, like, effective? And he's going to be like, I got a story. And you're like, all right, I got it.
You could ask him that question, and then he would just talk for the entire rest of the show.
Yeah, for sure.
50-minute answer.
We don't know. We're not going to throw this man under the bus.
We are joking.
We love Chris.
But also, not about the first part. So I do feel bad for a lot of dreamers who are not just dreaming of that medal, but of their Olympic Village stay.
Do you think there is a single Olympic athlete that is more excited for the Olympic Village than they're competing?
Yeah, 100%.
You think so? You like, there's got to be somebody that made the Olympics off of a qual. Like, you know, there's always in basketball, right. There'll be some random team that makes it, gets murdered every time. Yeah. Those guys are just excited to be there for the experience. They're not sitting there fretting, are we going to win gold? Like, no, we're going to lose every game by 30.
It's like us, like, hey, you going to summer league this year? Yeah, he's like, yeah, I think I'm going to go.
There's some fencer, you know, from some Sri Lanka fencer who's like, I don't know how I got qualified for this, but I'm going and the Village is going to be great.
Every 4 years, Evan Fournier is like, does the Olympic Village know I'm coming?
Oh, gosh.
Let them know.
Evan Fournier. That does it. That wasn't really a segment, but we needed a third segment.
Yeah, that technically did get us there.
We filled the third segment. Guys, tonight, trivia at the DNVR bar. Come down and join us. We're going to be watching game 6 of the finals. It should be a lot of fun. You can compete against me or maybe team up with me. I wrote the Nuggets question, so I guess that's probably unfair. I will get all of those questions right. But come down here and join. It'll be a lot of fun. You get some dinner. You get some drinks. Hang out. And then, of course, a week from Thursday. It's a week from Thursday, right? The NBA draft. Yes, a week from Thursday is the NBA draft.
Right.
And we're going to be going live the entire night, guys. I love it. It's one of my favorite things we do. Not just for Nuggets. We do this for every beat, every draft. But it's one of... The expansion draft is for the NHL tomorrow, so check that out, too.
That's right.
The Kraken. Yeah.
What's Kraken?
The Kraken alive. When do we go live, Allie? 6 o'clock. So we'll be going live, and you'll see exactly what the draft coverage will look like for the Nuggets. But we'll have the draft show on Thursday. We're going to have some people at the bar, so you can come here, listen to us as we break down everything
that's
happening.
We're going to have the draft over on the TVs here?
We'll have it at least, I think, on one TV, okay. But we'll have the audio playing, so people can, well, at least if nothing else, be able to hear us. So it should be a really good time. Put that on your calendars. That's
I can't wait, man. Can't wait to get hyped up about a Nuggets draft pick.
Also, come to trivia tonight. That is going to be so dope. So
yeah, very dope.
See you there.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time. Hit that like button on the way out.
The Colorado XOs, they finish up their season at 5-5. A really great start for this brand new team playing against professionals that have been playing for years. If you haven't heard of the Colorado XOs, they are Rugby Town USA's newest rugby team. They are athletes who have competed at the highest level of their respective sports. If you yourself are an elite athlete and are interested in trying out for the Colorado XOs, contact the Director of Recruitment, Peter Poske. His email is
is PPASQUE@glendale.co.us.